I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we're going to talk about the Michael Vick dogfighting case and race, especially the debate that seems to be brewing about why minorities tend to rally around their own when they're accused of wrongdoing and whether that support is deserved. That's later. But first, we want to talk about a disturbing new report from the Army. Last week, the Army reported that there were 99 confirmed suicides among active duty soldiers last year. It's the third year in a row that number has increased, and it was the largest number of suicides in the Army since the Persian Gulf War in 1991. Legal and financial problems seem to have played a role, so did failed relationships at home. But a quarter of those soldiers also shared another bond. They served in wartime Iraq or Afghanistan. Joining us to talk about this are Ed Dorn, a professor of public policy at the University of Texas and the former Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, and April Sumdahl. She is the sister of soldier Brian Jason Rand. He took his own life earlier this year. Thank you both for joining me.
Good to be with you, Michelle.
April, can I start by saying we're very sorry for your loss?
Thank you, Michelle. I'm very sorry, too.
Can you tell us your brother's story?
Well, he joined the military. He wanted to join right after 9/11, like immediately. He did basic training, boot camp, and got out and called us up and said that he was going to Iraq right away. And we were at that time proud of him.
He served with the 1st Battalion, 30th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade, as I understand it.
Yeah.
How was his deployment? Did he talk about it?
The first one went fairly well. He looked at it as an adventure. He said that he was, cooking for the soldiers out there and having fun and making them laugh, and everything seemed to be fine. He came back and said that he wanted to get married and he wanted to start his family, and he had dreams still, and he wanted to go again.
And he was sent back for a second deployment.
Right. I think he was expecting the second deployment to go as well and adventurous as the first one had, but it didn't. He had a computer in his room, and I had my computer, and we were able to talk to each other. And I would ask him, I'd say, well, how you guys doing? How you guys feeling? He'd say, well, we're kind of bummed out right now, but we're still moving on and pressing on and doing our duties and stuff. But April, hey, there's another troop here. He stays down the hall from me. He's really upset. Would you mind talking to him? And I would say, well, yeah, but I really don't have anything to say other than how my life's going and what's on TV and how the weather is. And he said, that's okay. That's all some of these guys need.
April, are you telling me that you didn't notice your brother deteriorating so much as he was concerned about other people, or did you notice something in him too, changes in him too?
I noticed really gradual, subtle changes in him. At first, he was really concerned about his fellow troops, and towards the end, as he got more and more distraught, he would call up the family and say, I'm afraid. We would tell him, go talk to somebody, go talk to a psychologist. These problems that he was talking about contained gore and carnage on levels that I wasn't ready to listen to. At the funeral, a lot of men from his unit showed up, and all of them would tell me, wow, if we were being shot at, he would jump in front of the bullets and push us aside. He would do this and do that. And it wasn't until later that I found out that he had told my mother that he was trying to get himself killed. He knew he wanted to die. He knew he wanted it to be over.
To your knowledge, did your brother ever request any psychological help, and do you know if he ever got any?
Yeah, he requested it, and they gave him a form to fill out asking him how depressed he was. And after he filled up the form, a psychologist or somebody there at the hospital spent over an hour with him, trying to talk to him. And it was during that conversation that they said, look, you've been traumatized and you're not fit to go back to Iraq. And he said, well, what are we going to do? I don't want it to damage my career. And they said, well, the best that we can hope for is an honorable discharge.
Is it my understanding that there was also a third deployment?
Right.
Is that correct? And that his death occurred during the third deployment?
Right. Right after. He got the call 2 days after his psychological evaluation saying that his troop was being sent back to Iraq. He called me up and he didn't even say hello. He just said, April, they're sending me back.
Oh, dear. Well, Edwin, I want to turn to you. What do you make of what April's telling us here?
It's a tragic story, one of an increasing number of tragic stories. And what April is revealing is, of course, that a suicide, particularly a suicide by a soldier or a Marine, tends to affect family members in a very different way than other forms of death would affect them. For whatever it's worth, I think all the services are focusing more attention on this problem now. They're becoming more aware of the problems of post-traumatic stress and more broadly of the stresses that the services are under as a result of the deployments in Afghanistan and Iraq. Soldiers are under terrific pressure. It's very likely that the stress increases with the number of deployments and also with the length of the deployment, and that's why so many people are concerned that the Army recently extended the tours in Iraq.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the recent U.S. Army report on suicides of active duty military members. With me are Ed Dorn, a professor of public policy at the University of Texas, and April Sumdahl, whose brother took his life earlier this year. Ed Dorn, are there any measures being taken to address this problem that you know of?
Quite a few. All the services have stepped up their efforts to identify soldiers, Marines, other military personnel who are undergoing extraordinary stress. They've put more counselors, advisors out in the units, the deployed units. They're providing additional training to commanders to help them recognize the problems that their soldiers may be confronting. They're reaching out to individual soldiers saying, listen, here's how to keep an eye on your buddy, to recognize whether he is taking normal risks, for example, or extraordinary risk. And April mentioned that her brother seemed to be taking some extraordinary risks in Iraq. One of the big problems here is that soldiers are can-do people, and they enter into an environment where they're taught to sort of suck it up, not to reveal their emotional problems and their fears. The encouraging thing here, if there is one, is that at least April's brother was beginning to seek out some help. The fact that it didn't come quickly enough maybe reveals a weakness in the way the system is working now.
April, I know how hard this is for you, and I so appreciate your being willing to talk about this. And I know that you're not an expert in these matters, but as you think about it and as you talk to people who knew your brother, is there anything that you think would have made a difference?
I think if they didn't send him back on his third tour within days, we would have had enough time to help him, listen to him, talk to him, guide him. I think he could have been healed. I think at that point, right before he went back, he could have been brought back from the edge of whatever was going through his mind.
And finally, Ed Dorn, the father of a 23-year-old Marine who committed suicide after being turned away from a veterans hospital, is now suing the government and the Department of Veterans Affairs for negligence. Do you think that there will be more suits like this? Or do you think that, as I mentioned, the last time there was a spike in the number of suicides in the service was during the Persian Gulf War. Is this one of those sort of tragic consequences of wartime?
Sadly, it is one of the consequences of wartime, and more particularly, it is the result of what happens when soldiers are exposed to repeated deployments and extended deployments. And that's one of the things we need to watch out for over the next year or so. The Chief of Staff of the Army, George Casey, conceded as much a few days ago. The Army is all in. it's not possible for the Army to sustain its current level of operations for much more than a few more months without seeing a dramatic escalation in these kinds of problems. And when I say these kinds of problems, suicide, of course, is an extreme manifestation of the kinds of stresses that so many thousands of soldiers are experiencing right now. But the other kinds of stresses show themselves in increased divorce rates, increased rates of domestic violence, alcoholism, and so on. The services simply cannot sustain the kinds of stresses they've been put under by these conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan.
April, finally, how are you doing?
Well, I'm barely hanging on. I zone out a lot, thinking of about my brother. 1,000 memories of him come rushing back to me at once, and they're in no way coherent. I'll have memories at 1 minute of him 3 years old, at the next minute 24. I'm trying every day to take small steps, and just getting up in the morning and getting dressed is difficult. I miss him. I miss him terribly. And I'm finding that so many things in my life that I did was just so I could call him and tell him about it. And he would just say, "I'm proud of you."
Well, April, I want to say again how sorry I am. And I also want to thank you again for being willing to share such personal feelings with us. April Sumdahl is the sister of soldier Brian Jason Rand. He took his own life earlier this year, and she joined us from WHQR in Wilmington, North Carolina. We were also joined by Ed Dorn, a professor of public policy at the University of Texas. He's a former undersecretary of defense, and he joined us from KUT in Austin, Texas. Thank you both so much for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michelle, and April, best wishes to you.
Thank you, Ed.